During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're thrilled to speak to Victoria Coates of the Heritage Foundation about a quandary. Diplomatic quandary for once, not gunfire. You will recall in the meetings in the White House following the Anchorage conversation between the presidents, the meetings in the White House, there was an intention to move towards bilateral, perhaps trilateral conversations about bringing peace to Ukraine and resolving the conflict ongoing since 22. Since then, there have been comments by the Kremlin that are mitigating. Victoria, very good day to you. The comments that I understand, it's a moving story, these are diplomats, is that the Kremlin believes it is best that China be included in the conversation about resolving Ukraine, possibly France, Britain, the United States, and Russia. In other words, recreating the United Nations Security Council in a negotiation to end the Ukraine conflict. There was no enthusiasm for Ukraine about this, and now they're redoubling by saying absolutely not. Is there an advantage or disadvantage to having China at the table when they negotiate an end to a European war? Good evening to you, Victoria.
Well, good evening to you, John, and to you, Gordon. Thank you for having me on. I think there's probably limited utility to replicating anything from the United Nations, including the Security Council. So I would question that premise. Now, to some extent, it reveals what most of us have known to be true, that since the declaration of the Partnership Without Limits between Russia and China in February of 2022 on the margins of the Beijing Olympics, ever since that happened, China is a shadow actor in this war. I mean, I don't think that even with the partnership with India, Russia could have survived financially without the direct support from Beijing. And I think that they are increasingly getting most of their trade with China. And so that is a reality. I know the Biden administration had been hopeful they could persuade China to play a more constructive role in ending the war. That did not turn out to be a good path, so I don't see revisiting it now as a positive thing. The only other caveat I would have to that is if President Putin is serious in engaging the United States on nuclear arms control, and there was some discussion of that before the Anchorage summit, I think those discussions have to include China at this point. I have no interest in a bilateral nuclear arms control treaty with Russia that doesn't also engage with China on that front, because otherwise we're just limiting ourselves and China is unfettered in the nuclear weapons arena.
Gordon, you have a question for Victoria.
Victoria, there was some discussion about China providing peacekeepers to an eventual solution. Ukraine's Zelensky said no. And just a few hours ago, China said no, that they were not interested in sending peacekeepers. What role do you think China could play if there were some eventual settlement in Ukraine?
Yeah, I was actually pretty glad to see that, Gordon, out of Zelensky. He had a very troubling op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. I believe it was in August of 2022. It might have been a little bit later, in which he opened the door to Chinese participation in the reconstruction of Ukraine. And I think particularly when you have the American taxpayer on the hook in Ukraine for hundreds of billions of dollars, China has contributed absolutely nothing, to the idea that you're going to invite China in for reconstruction, I found deeply problematic. So I was glad to see Zelensky take a little bit of a different tone here. I certainly don't blame him for not wanting Chinese peacekeepers on the ground in Ukraine. That sounds deeply dangerous. And I'm glad the Chinese don't think it's a good idea either. You know, we already have North Korean shock troops in Russia, so I don't think that would be a positive development at all.
Two metaphors from Lavrov, the diplomat, in a conversation on national television here. One is that we're not interested in giving Zelensky a stage to perform on. The second was, this isn't a win or lose situation. We don't follow our thinking that way. Of course, it is a win or lose situation. So the Kremlin, as ever, is impossible to read literally. You have to guess at where they're going. My summary is that the Kremlin is not ready to deal with Zelensky at all. They don't want him in the room. They don't want to talk to him. They don't regard him as the future. How do you measure those remarks about theatrical and win or lose?
Right. I mean, in Lavrov, I mean, you're kind to call him a diplomat. You know, he's been a henchman to Putin for a quarter of a century now. And we can all think back to his greatest hits, like the reset button with Hillary Clinton, among others. But I think, you know, the Kremlin has created something of a problem for itself here. You know, their premise for this war is that there are large pieces of Ukraine that are ethnically Russian, that Ukraine is an invented country that's not real, that it is, that its government is illegitimate, and that it should be part of Russia. That's what Putin is pushing for here. He wants to be a hero of modern Russia, you know, take his place in the pantheon that he sees of figures like Peter the Great, but also Stalin, who expanded Russian territory and specifically did it in Ukraine. So I think that's, you know, with having pushed that narrative for 3.5 years of war, really for 10 years of war now, to suddenly negotiate with the president of Ukraine, you know, it's a problem for them, logically, as much as they ascribe to logic. So I think that's what they're grappling with here. But the other piece of this that they're going to have to deal with is the problems of having been on a wartime economy for 3.5 years. Yes, it has spurred considerable growth by investing 40% of their GDP into their military. But the problem is you can't eat that in the end. And they're starting to burn through their cash reserves of foreign currency at such a clip that they could be out of it if they continue on as they are by the end of this year. That's a pretty dire position for a country to be in economically. So they may have to negotiate in the coming months. And I think they are trying to navigate, you know, a position in which they can do that and not look like they're caving to their own position that the government of Ukraine is illegitimate.
Gordon, you have a question.
Victoria, at the beginning of this month, negotiations were moving at Trump speed. We had a meeting in Anchorage with Putin. 3 days later, we had the heads of Europe and European institutions in the Oval Office. And then all of a sudden, it seems like everything slowed down. What can President Trump do to get back and accelerate the process again?
Well, I think that's natural. You know, after 3.5 years of nobody talking at all, you know, to suddenly have everybody talking. And, you know, I was very struck by the Oval Office meeting 2 weeks ago that had never happened before in history. And for them to put that together in 40 hours, you would think diplomatically that would take a year to plan getting those seven people into the Oval along with the president of the United States and the president of Ukraine. So that was pretty remarkable in and of itself. And so that is all progress, you know, talking to Putin. I wouldn't enjoy it personally, but it has to happen to get to a resolution of this war. And, you know, it's not illogical that after that flurry of activity, you would have a little bit of a lull. But the president did say over the weekend that he's deeply frustrated by what Putin is doing, and he is considering other actions. And he put about a 2-week time limit on it. And, you know, as we discovered with the Iranians in April, he does take these timelines seriously. And if he feels like he's being kind of tapped along, as he says, he's going to take decisive action. The actions he's been outlining are economic. I do think there are a number of things we could do, like sanction that last 20% of the Russian financial sector. I think we can work very productively with India to get them off the 40% of their energy imports that they're getting from Russia right now. And that these actions, much more serious and consequential than what the Biden administration did, could bring Putin back to the table.
Victoria Coates for the Heritage Foundation, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.